This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is an interview with Little Boots for Joy 94.9. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
So welcome to Australia.
Thank you.
So how does it feel to come all the way down to Australia and do a show here at last and all that?
It's cool. It's kind of weird because I guess it's so new here, you know. And the Potluck Festival is just such a, it's quite a big festival and there's so much music going on. But at the same time as Lady Sovereign, which is really annoying because I think a lot of people will see both of us. So yeah, it's just, it's kind of weird. It feels like back to the start, you know.
Yeah.
But then we did our own little club show in Sydney as well, and that was brilliant. And everyone knew all the words, and it just was like, it just felt amazing to come all this way and people knew your songs.
Yeah. So what's your favourite song to perform live?
Ooh, that's quite a hard question. Mathematics is really fun. Remedy's fun just because people always sing along really good. And New in Town, people always sing along really good. And I always like playing Stuck on Repeat. It's like I do different things in different ones, so it depends what mood I'm in, if I like playing the theremin that day or the, or the, there's like some songs I do stupid synth solos that are quite fun and things. Yeah.
So any chance of maybe working a cover into the set list? Because I know you covered JLS song.
Oh, quite recently. We did. I don't think we ever play that again. We cover Love Kills, which is by Giorgio Moroder and Freddie Mercury. It's an old 80s song. So we cover that quite often. So we've kind of been doing it on some of the gigs. So just judge how the crowd goes. But yeah, it's a good song. It always goes down amazingly with gay crowds. Yeah. So we always play it. We played it at Gay Pride in Manchester and it went down like crazy.
So it looks like it's going to be another really good year for British pop again. So why do you think British pop is so much better than pop anywhere else in the world?
I don't know. I think maybe that we just have a different attitude to it. Like, there's such a history of great British pop and pop music that's still creative, and that it's not, you know, I think pop is a place where you can do something cool and do something interesting. And you know, if you look back to bands like the Human League and stuff who are great pop bands but also really like pushing things, but you go to, when you go to like the States, pop's just got such a different meaning. It just means like bubblegum trash music. So yeah. I guess it's just different attitudes. If you grow up thinking pop can be a creative place, then you can be creative with it.
Yeah. So before the hit album Hands came out, before the top 20 singles came along, I'm always kind of curious to find out what were you doing before all this? Like, what was your first job? Were you studying before you became a pop star?
Yeah, I guess. I was at university. I got my degree and then I was working in television. I was working in production and I was in another band.
So when you were actually working television and production, all that, was it just at the back of your mind that you're going to cross over to music one day? Or?
Well, it was always a dream, but, you know, I always made sure. I mean, I've always been quite academic as well, so I always did my studying and everything, and then I kind of got this job and it was, like, stupid to turn it down. I guess I was always just too scared to quit. And just, you know, try and make ends meet and do music until I had a record deal. But I was, God, when I worked in TV, I always be like, I'd work those like long hours in TV as well, and then I'd like leg it from work and like get changed and then be driving us to a gig like 4 hours away and then get back at 5 a.m. and then get up for work at 7 and literally burning the candles at both ends.
Did it take you long to realise that, okay, this is the point where I'm going to take the leap? What kind of pushed you to take the leap?
I think the biggest jump for me was, well, leaving my old band was a big deal for me because that was my whole life at that point. And then I moved back to my parents for a while and kind of got some songs together. And then I moved to London and I didn't have any money and I didn't really know what I was doing. And I didn't have anywhere to live and I just legged it down there. And I think that was quite a big jump for me, but I had to take it. And then once I got there, eventually things started fitting together, you know.
Yeah. So the album Hands, I kind of, when I first heard the album, I thought it was a very sensible companion to, let's say, modern Kylie and even a little bit of Rachel Stevens' last album. Have you got that a lot?
Well, you're on the album, surely.
No, she has two.
She did two.
Yeah,
oh,
she has
God.
Funky Dory, and then there was a second one.
What's the second one?
Second one was called, oh, I have this at home.
Funky Dory was good.
Funky, yeah, it was the second one called.
I didn't know she did.
Yeah, she did. She worked with Xenomania and Richard X.
Oh, maybe that's...
Some Girls.
Some Girls, yeah, but that was the second one. Oh, yeah. I really like Negotiate with Love. That's my favorite.
That was, yeah, that was the first single from the second album.
So that was the second album. Oh, yeah. So maybe it was the first album, I didn't know as well. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I do like that.
So you've actually put out two EPs before the whole album Hands was completed. So do you think your sound had evolved at that point from putting out the EPs to actually completing the album?
Not that much. I guess we were kind of holding back the more poppy tracks for the album. You know, I didn't write the album over that long a time. It was written over quite a smallish period of time, so I don't think it had that much room to evolve. But I always wanted to do quite a varied album, so I think all those tracks are quite different, even though they're all electronic.
Because I know when word started getting out about Little Boots, I think a lot of people had this idea that you were more indie than pop.
Yeah.
Do you still see yourself as an indie artist, maybe rebirthing as a pop star?
No, I never wanted to be an indie thing, and I never said it was. And I guess people just thought, because I do things in my own way, and you can watch me on YouTube playing songs, and you know, just because I'm quite DIY in some respects, then people put it in that box in their heads. But it never was meant to be that. And even Stuck on Repeat, which people think is like quite a cool track, it's just like a pop song, really. That's, you know, it's just a big pop song. So I always just wanted to be a pop artist, and that was the whole thing, that I wanted to just embrace pop songwriting and not be ashamed about it, and just go for it wholeheartedly, you know.
So now you mentioned you actually write your own songs. Do you work on a couple of tracks at a time, or are you just one song at a time until it finishes, then you move on?
No, I normally have a few going on at once, I think. Because you can just be not getting anywhere with one song, and you need to like get away from it and then come back to it with fresh ears or something. So, yeah.
Which song was the hardest to write on the album?
I think the hardest to finish was Remedy, because I wrote the bulk of it in 2 days in LA. No, not even in an afternoon in LA, sorry. We wrote the bulk of it. And then I knew it was really good, and so finishing it was like, well, it's got to be really good. You can't just finish it off. It's got to be like really good. And so finishing it was really hard, but the starting was really easy. So, yeah. But they're all different, you know. Some songs you'll finish in a few hours, and some will take weeks.
You've worked with a number of different producers as well. Even Greg Kirsten, who you've collaborated with on a number of projects. Do you prefer workshopping an idea with someone else, or when you go in to do a song, you have a clear idea of what it has to sound like already?
No, I really like working with other people. I like, you know, I come from bands. I've been in bands my whole life. And so just writing on my own, I mean, some of the tracks I just wrote on my own in my bedroom, but I find that a bit hard sometimes. I get a bit cabin fever, and I need that other person to bounce ideas off and to give me some objectivity and stuff. So definitely Greg, especially, because I just love working with him so much. You know, I really enjoy having that dynamic in the studio and that kind of dialogue with someone else.
Because Greg, I mean, he's done such a diverse range of...
I've known Greg for quite a few years now, and he's just so incredible. He's done everything from Kylie to Peaches to Flaming Lips, you know.
The Bird and the Bee as well. He's great.
He's just so talented. But he just loves great songs like me, you know. I think we both really like the challenge of writing the perfect pop song. Is something we get really passionate about and excited.
Now, Earthquake has been announced as your third single. Do you think maybe now is not the best timing?
I know. Well, over here it isn't.
Yeah.
Because we were playing live yesterday on TV, and we're like, God, thank God, because they're doing a whole piece on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it was, you know, it's not our fault.
What other future singles could we expect from Hands?
I don't know. This is going to be the third one, so I guess it's kind of, you know, probably won't do too many more, but I'm not sure. There's another song that I really, really like that's not on the album that I could release, but it might be weird because it's not on the album.
Yeah, know. Would you repackage the album? And
maybe, yeah. So, I don't know, kind of talking about if we do that or if we do another song of the album, but yeah, it's hardcore, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe Stuck on Repeat could come out again.
Well, it's funny. I think it should have been released, you know, we should have released it properly earlier, and now it just feels like, I feel like it's kind of had its day now. And it feels too, it's come too far to revisit it now, you know. And so many people know it already, and so many people have it already. It's like, I just think it's a really special song, and it started the ball rolling for everything. And I don't know if it's right to go back and release it now, you know.
Is it true that you had Kylie in mind when you were writing that song?
Yeah, like, well, just vaguely. At that time, I was just writing songs like, who could I write songs for, you know, just thinking about it in more of a songwriter headspace than a personal headspace, I guess.
So, okay, are you actually testing the waters in America?
Well, we just did a sold-out tour there, so it's fantastic. So, yeah, we're going back next year quite a lot, and the album comes out in spring there, and we're going to repackage it with some extra tracks to make it a special one. And yeah, I'm pretty positive about it. I think it's hard work over there, but it's worth it if it pays off.
Have you actually started thinking about the next record yet?
No, I don't know. I don't even know if I'll do one at the minute. I can't write when I'm touring and I'm doing promo. I'm not in the right headspace, so I just want to finish this album leg and then have a clean break and just go and bury myself in the studios again.
Any idea of what direction you might take it in, or would you still continue doing electro pop?
I guess it'll always be electronic because that's what I play. You know, keyboards and electronics is my instrument, so I'm probably not going to go heavy metal because I can't play guitar. But, I'm thinking about involving more organic instruments, more pianos and strings and things, maybe mixed with electronics, but that's a really vague idea. I don't know.
Now, I read somewhere that you grew up listening to Kylie and Brandy. Do you think there's an...
Brandy?
You actually said that in an interview.
I've never said Brandy.
I read that and I thought, that's isn't that unusual?
Weird.
Brandy.
I sure I didn't. Blondie. I bet it's Blondie. And, they
and then someone transcribed it incorrectly.
Kylie and Blondie. It was Kylie and Blondie.
And I was just like, I have to ask her if she has an R&B record in her.
The Boy Is Mine was a good song.
Yeah.
I think it was Blondie and they misquoted me.
Brandy.
Brandy, God, no.
I thought, okay, well... We'll do a quick 5 questions now, just random questions, just for a bit of fun. Who was your favourite Spice Girl?
Jerry, definitely. She's like the most feisty one.
Yeah.
She was the coolest one, yeah.
When you were younger, did you and your like little girlfriends play dress up as Spice Girls?
Of course. I actually made a video. I'm not in it because I was filming, but one of my English projects, I made a video and we did it like the Spice Girls and all my friends dressed up and I filmed it.
Oh, so you filmed, you weren't
actually...
Yeah, I wasn't.
No, I wasn't. I don't know back then which one I would have been. Maybe Posh, or I had brown hair, so maybe Posh.
Okay, so if you were a drag queen, what would your drag name be?
Oh my God. Give me some good examples and I'll try and think of one.
You see, I came up with one on radio the other day and we just kind of thought Lolita Chandelier would be a nice...
Oh God, I don't know. It's quite hard.
Something quite sparkly, I think, for you.
Yeah, like, I don't know, what's sparkly?
How did you come up with the name Little Boots, anyway?
It's just a nickname for my friend, because I've got small feet.
What size are you?
I'm a 3 UK, which is really small.
Your least favourite subject at school?
Maths and physics.
You wrote a song called Mathematics.
That's why I did it, because I was rubbish at maths. And the first line is mathematics is difficult. So I was really hard.
If you were an iPhone application, what would you be?
Ooh, that's a good one. Maybe Tetris. I'm obsessed with Tetris. I literally play it all the time.
I read that on your Twitter.
Yeah, I've quit Twitter for Tetris.
Sensible.
Yep.
Now, what advice would you give anyone wanting to be a pop star?
Just, like, research it, because it's not exactly what you think it's going to be. But you just got to be prepared for lots of hard work.
What did you think it was when you...
I didn't want to be a pop star ever, though. I just wanted to be a musician. I wanted to make music and perform music, you know. Yeah. Like, a pop star is kind of a different thing. And
What surprised you when you got into it?
How much non-creative stuff there is, I guess. How much work there is. I mean, I'm up for hard work. I love working hard. But how much uncreative work there is. Like, the creative bit is actually quite a small piece. Mm. The writing and the... You know, that's quite a small bit of the whole... scheme of what
there's
you
the business
do.
And this.
Yeah, and there's like all the promo and all the traveling and stuff, so yeah, I guess it's kind of there's a lot more other stuff than I thought, but it's worth it because you do all that in order to be able to do the creative bit.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organization Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.